What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hey, Claude, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good. Welcome to week two of our quarantine episodes. Thanks for bearing with us. I had a decent weekend. It was actually really hard to be quarantined this weekend now that there's like life going on. There's life going on outside.
Everyone was talking about how you were having a hard time quarantining this weekend. It was in all the biggest papers.
Yes, no, I mean, that's just the life of a star. But it was like, I honestly, during this week, I was like, whatever, quarantine, who cares? Don't have to go to work, live for it. But then on the weekend, I was just getting invited to like fabulous dinners, outdoor dining, indoor dining, and I couldn't go. And that was really hard. So I'm looking forward.
Soon.
Yes.
Soon you shall be there.
It'll be a few days before.
Yeah, very exciting. Before we get into all the things and about this weekend and all the content that we watched, I need to ask you an important question. How's Theo?
He's good. He's in high spirits. He got a bath this weekend, so it was kind of like a rejuvenation weekend for both of us. It's been a while since he got a bath.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And now it's torrential downpour raining in New York, so he's literally soaking wet with the dirty rainwater. So it was like the bath I gave him was pointless. But that's life of a dog beautiful. Mom.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear he's doing well. I'm sure he's enjoying this hiatus from having to go into the studio and put on every day. So I think this is the perfect break for him. And that makes it the perfect break, period.
Period. So, yeah, we're going to talk about, obviously, Fast Five. Let's talk about Potomac. But how was your weekend, Jax? Anything exciting, eventful?
My weekend was really good. I recovered from my common cold, which was so beautiful. Like, such an exciting moment. I mean, you still wake up the worst. But so it's not like I woke up and I felt better. It's like I woke up and then like a few hours later, I realized I was starting to feel better. But I just have been in Inverness, Australia, watching the most incredible show. I'm on the last season and I'm just trying to savor it. But the problem is on the one hand, I'm trying to savor it. So I don't want to finish all the episodes. On the other hand, I can't do anything, read anything or watch anything else until I finish this show because like my mind is in Inverness. So I really wanted to read like The Nightingale, the new Ellen Hildebrand book, but I can't start it because I need to know how Sarah and the crew end up. So I think I need to spend today and tomorrow finishing it so I can get on with my life. But I do think that this is going to be one of the worst TV hangovers I've ever had.
So I'm in a similar boat. I have made it to season 7 of Mad Men and I'm just devastated. Like Ben hasn't really been watching with me, but at night when he crawls into bed, he's like, oh, let's watch. It's like a good show. He like comes in and out of. And last night he was like, do you want to watch an episode? I'm like, no, I'm not going to waste it with you. Like I have a whole week left of quarantine. I only have one season left. They're not that long. And to be honest, like the show definitely has ups and downs. And I think towards the end, like I can see why they ended it. Cause it's just like the same shit, like happening over and over, like Jaguar, new client, old client. Like it's a little redundant, but there was a period where, spoiler alert, like where Lane Price was going through all that stuff and then he hung himself in his office. Like that was such a crazy, like I just did not see that coming. Also, what I've really started to like about the show is really getting a feel for like what life was like during that time and like all these cultural moments, like when JFK was assassinated, which is what I watched maybe like a week ago. But last night I watched the episode of like when Martin Luther King died and like what life was like. People were like, they were at an award show. They were like, do we go on with the award show? Like, how do we get out of here? And to be, it was just like really weird to feel like you could be there. They painted the picture very, very well.
Yeah, they do a good job of that. What's also crazy is the two shows that we're watching are pretty much, at least they started set in the same era. So, like, we're watching the same time, but on two different sides of the globe.
That's true. Inverness and Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at one point, some of my characters go to Hawaii. I feel like...
So does Don and Megan.
I wonder if they ran into each other.
Interesting. I just honestly assume that your show, A Place to Call Home, is, like, literally, like... The 1200s, like everyone lives in a house on the prairie. I don't know. That's what I picture when I think of your show.
No, I know that you would. And anything that I could say to illustrate what I'm watching, like, you still wouldn't understand. Like, you still wouldn't do it justice. All I'll say is, like, it's maybe the most special show on TV. And all this time I've been saying, you guys, like, I haven't been, like, highly recommending it because it is extremely niche. But I'm going to go ahead today and recommend it to every single one of you, including you, Claudia.
What? Okay.
Claudia.
I don't know how to get Acorn, but...
You just go to your app store, download it. It's like $5 a month. And so now that I've been watching this series, there are so many others. It's like it's a whole new streaming service full of shows, hopefully similar to the one I'm watching. But you guys, I'm going... If you need to get sucked into a wormhole, A Place to Call Home on Acorn TV... I don't think you'll regret it. I really don't think you do. And I'm a different person than I was last time you saw me in studio. And I think when we get back into the studio, you're going to see that change in me.
Wow.
That's how much this show has impacted my life.
Okay, well, maybe I'll think about it. I'm definitely going to need something to do after Mad Men. I actually took a break this weekend and read the beginning of Mariah Carey's book. And to be honest, I couldn't read that much. It's very dense. Like, I was shook at kind of the... style of writing, and like the girl, I forget her name, but it's Mariah Carey with Michaela something.
Michaela Shapiro.
Yeah, of course. I'm just like, she really went for like the literary, like she wants a Peabody. Like it's really like written in like Shakespearean, like it's very serious. It's just not how I would expect a memoir to be written. And then also you don't really, if you think about it, like, do you know that much about Mariah Carey? No. And It really just starts off with her childhood, which is the majority of the book, because it was so bad. And it, like, impacted her in so many ways. And it's really tough to read. Like, it's very sad because she grew up, like, biracial as the only biracial or black person in her neighborhood. And it was just, like, all these anecdotes she had, like, with her friend Becky and then her teachers laughing at her when she was coloring. Like, it's really... dark and really hard to get through, but I'm gonna eventually get through the whole thing. But it's not like a Sunday beach read. Like, it's not what I thought.
Oh wow, I wouldn't have expected that either, but that makes me even more excited to read it. But that's another thing that's on my queue. I don't even know what's next up after A Place to Call Home, but that's what I'm saying. That's why I have to finish the show. Like, I have work to do, things to read, places to go, and I can't do those things because I'm stuck in Inverness, Australia, 1959.
Yeah, it's also annoying, like, being in the middle of a show that you're so obsessed with, because I am, like, dying to now go follow all the people on Mad Men on Instagram, like, see how, what if they ever post about Mad Men. Also, I would love to see, like, Google some behind the scenes, like, facts. Like, I do know that Alexis Bledel and Pete Campbell met on the set of Mad Men, and they are married now. So, like, that, I knew that from my DMs, but, like, I'm just, like, dying to dive in, but I don't want to spoil the ending. I just, like, I need to know more.
I think even if you dive in, it's not like, I think you wouldn't spoil the ending. I think if you follow January Jones on Instagram, she posts about Mad Men like at a glance, not, you know, this last episode was so crazy, the time that Don
did. I've actually followed her for like 2 years.
Ever since Nick Vile
brought
her onto the scene?
Yes.
Since he discovered her?
Yes. Oh my God. That's literally why I followed her.
Yeah, no, I follow her now because of Mad Men. So, and she does post many a tribute.
Yeah, and she just posts premium content. I feel like she's like a girl just like living her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and for me, just back to A Place Called Home,
yeah,
I would like to finish it so I could get on the chat boards and like see how the fans feel.
For sure.
And also, like, I can like, as I'm watching the show, I can feel that there's a cult following, and the people who have messaged me on Instagram, like, it's just different than the normal TV message. You know?
There's a sense of community.
And the fact that there was a season 2 finale that was usurped with like a regular ending so that there could be a season 3 after it was canceled and brought back. It has that sort of fanfare like Nashville did.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to engage with these fans, but I can't until I know how it ends.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to us both having this journey come to a close. I'm glad we could go on this journey together. I haven't been on a journey this powerful since Desperate Housewives. And I've to be honest, I have been in an actual TV slump since Desperate Housewives, which I believe I watched in October of last year. So, like, it's just, it's been tough.
Yeah, but when they come, like, you have to count your blessings. You know, you have to appreciate every moment. You do have to savor it. But unfortunately, you have to get on with your life. And those two things are constantly conflicting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, did you watch Yellowstone?
No, I started it and I just couldn't get into it.
I understand. It's not for the faint of heart and it's not for someone who doesn't have any patience. So
yeah, it's for not for someone who doesn't have any patience. And it's not for someone who really doesn't think that Kevin Costner is like that great of an actor. That's a hot take. I'm saying it. He's not that great.
I used to think that, but then I saw Draft Day and everything changed.
He was just, in the Yellowstone, he's just like, maybe I didn't make it far enough for him to like get comfortable in his John Wayne-esque role, but he was just being so corny, like with all of his like fire, like it was just like so corny. Corny Collins.
Okay, here's the thing.
Corny Collins.
You are entitled to your opinion, and I don't really feel like challenging you, but that's like blasphemous because John Dutton, Kevin Costner, the role of John Dutton, like he is John Dutton. Like it oozes out of him and it's as if he's not even acting is how I feel.
Oh, okay. I was like, the acting is everywhere. I just can't stop seeing all the acting.
You know, that's like a new problem that you're having. Emily in Paris too.
I just have a high bar for acting and I feel like the quality of like actors and actresses that we're getting in 2020, it's just like people don't even care anymore. It's like, I know you're faking. I know you are Kevin Costner. I know you are not John.
I think that's a result of watching so much reality TV. I honestly do.
100%.
Because I was even watching Potomac last night, and sometimes when I watch like a drama show and the character's going through like something similar to maybe I am, I don't really take the result at face value because it was like a scripted result.
Yeah.
But then in watching Potomac and like watching human beings evolve like in a real way, I had to like break from my typical behavior and be like, oh no, that's like a real behavior, not just someone wrote it, you know?
Yes, I do know.
So just something to think about as we all continue to watch so much effing TV.
Yes. You know what, Jackie? I will continue to think about that as I watch so much effing TV.
No, we watch so much TV. Like
it's disgusting.
The Social Dilemma needs to make a sequel called The TV Dilemma. Like, I don't have a screen time problem. I have a TV problem.
My TV is never not on.
And my TV is so big. And, like...
Mine's not big enough.
The way it's... Oh, that's true. You have the opposite problem. Like, and mine is so close to my bed. It's, like, literally on my bed.
Wow.
And it's huge.
I wish I had that problem. My bedroom, not to like, you know, humble brag, my bedroom is so big that like the TV and the bed are on opposite sides. They're on opposite sides of the wall. And it's so far. That's why I had to get glasses. And the apartment I rent and the apartment that I moved into has this like built-in unit on the wall. So your TV can only be as big as the window they made for the TV. So it's like, right. I'm super far away and the TV's super small. I actually looked into getting a bed frame. We had this when we were in Vegas. Remember, you and I were in Vegas,
yes,
like in the middle of the year, and they were like, do you want to upgrade for another $100 to like this suite? And we were like, yeah. And literally every time I see a celebrity in Vegas, Kylie was just there when she was with Stoss.
She was in our room.
We're gonna talk
about that trip, Cardi B's birthday. But back to your point, yes, there needs to be more accessible products where the TV comes up out of the floor or out of the media console, because like there are so many issues that I figured it out, but like if I could get a bench at the end of my bed that had a TV that rose up, it'd be game over.
So I actually looked into these line of products, and there are very, very few bed frames that at the foot of the bed, it's actually storage for a TV and like a remote. And first of all, it was so ugly. Like it was, there were so few like style options for this particular technology. So it was heinous. Oh, and it was also $8,000 because it's like remote controlled to get the TV up out of the thing. But I agree. We need more like bed TV products together because I would surely buy.
Or media console sort of things, like a bench. It doesn't have to be part of the bed. Like it could be a separate, so you could get your pretty bed and then get like a little bench.
I like that.
Bar where it pops up. That's something to think about. Hopefully they'll be at Wayfair soon because I do think this is a big problem. But until then, you should just buy a really big TV, like move a console into your bedroom at the foot of your bed and just put it up there and enjoy your life.
See, I agree. But sometimes I do things to my room that like defy order. And just because I think it would be like comfortable, and I always end up hating it. Like, I literally got a love sack during quarantine, even though I did not have 1 inch for it. And I just plopped it in the middle of my bedroom, and it was so disruptive. And I actually got rid of it last weekend. I donated my love sack because it was like brand new, and my life is so much lighter without it. I can't explain.
Yeah, I need to do the same because I've transitioned out of my love sack, even though I love it so much. I don't want to see it go, but it takes up so much space. And how did Theo feel about that decision? Because I know that the love sack had become like a second home to him.
He hadn't said a word. And to be honest, he literally has not set paw on the love sack in months.
Okay, but can I just pose a theory to you?
No.
No?
No.
You're not curious what I might have cooked up?
What?
Okay, so like this week when we were FaceTiming and stuff, like Theo was never really in the bedroom, right?
I would say maybe 50% of the time he was.
Do you think that it's because the sack is gone?
No, it's him and I have been through like a little journey this week. Because I've had the common cold and I've been trying to quarantine as much as possible. Much of the dog duties, both literally and figuratively, have fallen on Ben. And Theo just is the type of, he's very like easy to get to love. Like if you feed him and take him out, like you are his number one girl. Like it's very simple. So over the last like week and a half, and then I was in Newport, like I've just kind of been like lacking, and he likes to let me know when he's angry with me. Like he won't hang out with me in the bedroom during the day. Like he'll go sit on the couch with Ben. Like he's the type of guy. He's like, love the one you're with, you know? And if you're not with him, like feeding him, taking care of him, he's just not with you.
I understand that. It's his survivalism in him, you know, his survival instincts.
I feel like we've been rambling on for like 30 minutes.
Just like circling the dream. I know, but like we're catching up. Like I have questions. I have things to share with you. And I know we need to get into the things we need to get into. And so I guess without further ado, we will. But I just want to say, like, I enjoyed catching up with you.
I did too. That was nice. I feel like we usually FaceTime like 47 times a weekend, and we didn't FaceTime that much this weekend.
No, we didn't. But usually we FaceTime 47 times a weekend. It's interesting. And we didn't this weekend. So we had much catching up to do. And I hope you guys enjoyed us catching up. And if not, and you skipped forward, here are the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Now, really quickly, I have like a whole shebang planned. But I forgot to put this in our little recap. I wanted to talk about the celebrity living in my building. Because while I don't have an update, a lot of people have been sending me guesses. And I haven't seen anyone guess properly. But they asked for a clue. So okay. I'm going to give her initials, okay? Her initials are RDH. I know it's such a coincidence. It's such a coincidence. But they are her initials, RDH. And my doorman did tell me that she does suffer from RDH. So in case she's listening to the podcast, if you're trying to get rid of your RDH, here's a little something I try. You let me know. Also, shout out to someone who DM'd me this idea because it was a good idea.
And so good. I was like, you're going to give it away.
Yeah. So like someone, keep DMing me because I'm really liking the ideas. Today's episode is brought to you by Newex. Their mission is to provide their customers with the highest quality products at a reasonable price. With years of experience in sourcing, manufacturing, and development, their goal is to make CBD accessible to the masses. We never sacrifice quality, and all of their products are natural, pure, and tested. They have great CBD products, very reasonably priced. My favorite product are the gummies, and they're only $9.99, which is really, really reasonably priced. They taste really good. They're all their products are vegan. The gummies are made with natural ingredients, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. They're lab tested and they're under $10. It's really great if you're looking for like a fun way to get into CBD, like you've been wanting to try it. They also come in shots and tinctures. The shots have 150 milligrams of caffeine, an energy blend, and 30 milligrams of CBD. They're mango flavored. They're of course vegan and non-GMO, and they're also lab tested. It's perfect if you're looking for an alternative to energy drinks like coffee, or if you're like drinking monsters in the morning. I don't know. That's definitely not good for you. Check it out. So if you've been looking to try CBD, now is the time. This is your sign. Newex is spelled N-U-X. So visit newex.com to go purchase some of their great products. You can use the discount code TOAST for 20% off for a limited time. Once again, that's Newex, N-U-X.com. Code TOAST for 20% off for a limited time. Check it out.
Okay. Sign on. Get your CBD on. I'll work on that one. Okay, first story. Cardi B kisses Offset at her Vegas birthday bash 1 month after filing for divorce.
This party looked so lit.
So lit. I just finally put the pieces all together of what everyone was doing in Vegas. For a while, I thought that Kylie was in Vegas because Stas got married. I know. And then I was literally about to Google Stas's birthday trying to put this puzzle piece together. But then it all came together.
But there are rumors really quickly that Stas and Noah Centineo got married in Vegas last weekend.
Yes, we'll talk about the rumors. Let's talk about the party. Cardi B and Offset's relationship appeared to be back on during the WAP rapper's 28th birthday celebration on Saturday night, just 1 month after she filed for divorce from him. Cardi marked her latest birthday with a party in Las Vegas, along with the Migos rapper, Megan Thee Stallion, Kylie Jenner, and more fellow celebs. Cardi chartered a Playboy jet while the Keeping Up with the Kardashians reality star, who gifted Cardi a new Birkin bag, shared videos and photos arriving in her own private plane. I mean, this is how it's done.
Cardi B is 28?
I know. I was about to say, I'm the same age as Cardi. Well, I turned 28 in just a few short weeks.
Wow.
But we are the same age, which I did know, but it's always surprising when you find out the celebs who are your age, who you didn't grow up on.
Yes, yes. And I just assumed because Cardi B came into my life later in life that she's 33.
Yeah. No, she's a youngster. Well, I mean, that would make me a youngster, which I would love to be. So yeah, she's so young.
Yeah, so young. She's like a baby. No, this party looked so fabulous. Everyone flying to Vegas in their private jets. This is the type of situation that gives me FOMO, even though, it's not I would ever be invited. I just have FOMO for things that look so fun. I know Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, and Kylie, they know how to party. That's a group of young Hollywood gals who know how to throw down. And they just do it on their private jets. And that's the life I want to live. Help me. I want to live that life.
No, I know. And Kylie looked so sickening. So let's talk about, I saw the party from Kylie's POV on her plane, Kylie Air. The plane had pastel pink stripes on it. Mm-hmm. It was just so exciting to see. And her and her friends are having such a good time. I assumed it was for one of her friends' birthdays.
Or Kylie does do this one night in Vegas, just with her friends.
Kylie's not such a Vegas girly. It really took me by stormy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Do you think when they go to Vegas, I guess it's okay, in the real world, let's say I'm going to a club and I'm at a restaurant uptown and I got to go to the club downtown. It could take me 30 to 45 minutes to get there. Do you think that's what the plane is like? It's just a long cab ride downtown. And do you think they get on the plane dressed? Was Kylie in her glam on the plane?
No, Kylie was wearing sweats, but her hair was done.
Got it.
In the style that she wore that night. Brilliant, brilliant logistical move. You know, yeah. She carved off so much time.
No, it's just crazy that if I got invited, let's say even if I lived in Vegas, but let's say I lived in LA and I got invited to one night in Vegas. It's I would obviously go in the morning, make a day of it, leave. But they literally go at 9 o'clock. They got on the plane for an 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. And then a lot of times Kylie goes home that night too.
Yes, but they got that sickening room at the Encore Tower Suite, which Jackie and I have stayed in. There's only two of them. And literally they were do you want to upgrade to a suite for $100? It was in the middle of April. And we were sure. Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to be with an extra couch. We walk into this two bedroom apartment. It is so sickening. There's a massage room, a kitchen. And now that I've been there, I recognize it. Diplo always stays there when he DJs. The Chainsmokers always stay there. And I just see celebrities there all the time. And now Kylie was there.
Yeah. No, it's really exciting. At first, when I saw Kylie's pictures, I didn't know she had left town.
Me too.
My sources hadn't told me. So I was her house looks kind of like Las Vegas. And then it was all starting to come together. And so, yes, I assumed that Stas had a Vegas wedding with Noah Centineo, which is a rumor that I'm going to choose to believe.
Yeah, no, I believe it. I feel I've just been seeing it on blogs and stuff, and I don't even know how they know each other. And to me, it makes no sense, but it also makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And I would completely and utterly, totally give my heart, soul, and my ship to this couple.
100%.
And so I'm going to go ahead and operate as if it's true, because that would just be exciting news. And I don't know how it relates directly to Kylie,
but it does.
But I think it would be good. Maybe we get Kylie into All the Boys I Love 3, something like that. Who knows?
It's already recorded, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, happy birthday to Cardi B. Oh, and the big story is that her and Offset showed a little PDA.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people are taking to mean they might be back together. But I think they'll always be family, love each other, in each other's lives.
They have a child together.
It just is different when it's like that. So I didn't take it as a sign that they're back together.
Me neither.
And I don't think that, I personally don't think that they are.
Me neither. I just think this
but
is
sometimes
like,
you want to kiss the ones you love and the ones you have loved.
Yeah, no, sometimes like this is just called healthy coexisting and like we should stop labeling it and just be happy for them.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to do here.
Okay.
Speaking of other happy couple news, Real Housewives of Atlanta's Cynthia Bailey marries Mike Hill in Georgia wedding ceremony. The couple exchanged vows in front of 250 guests, including a handful of her Real Housewives of Atlanta co-stars. They said, "I do," at the Governor's Town Club in Acworth, Georgia. People can exclusively reveal the bride looked stunning. Beautiful, stunning, and smart. She said, "Mike and I are elated that today has finally come. 10-10-20 is and always will be our perfect date. We are not perfect, but we are perfect for each other. We are living in a different time, and now more than ever, we realize that life is too short and to never take anything for granted. We are so grateful to have found each other. Love with the help of God conquers all."
They are such a sweet couple. I'm not going to lie. Like, we met Mike Hill. Do you remember? We were...
Yes.
We recorded when we were in LA, like a segment for Access Hollywood, and he was on it. And I'm like, "Jackie, that is the guy from Real Housewives of Atlanta. He's like accomplished in his own right in sports." But I was just like, "That's Cynthia's boyfriend." And he was so forthcoming. They were not engaged yet. He was like, "Oh my God, I love her so much. We're going to get married." And I'm like, "Oh my God, this guy's amazing." And I really am so happy for her. I feel like she's the type of girl who really deserves like a happy, healthy relationship after being with Peter, like, which was so toxic. I just think like this is it for her. And I think she's found like her OTP, and you just love to see it. Like, you can't help but be overjoyed for someone finding their OTP.
You really do. And do you remember our last trip that we took before COVID when we went to LA? We saw them together.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, and they were so wonderful and so nice and so fabulous.
She's gorgeous, and he's so handsome. And I don't know, I feel like she deserves someone, like, really upstanding. And she found him, you know? And he's handsome and successful in his own right. And I just think, like, this is really good for her. Obviously, I need to talk about two things going on here. One, she got a lot of shit for having a 250-person wedding during COVID. But that was her decision, and she's not stepping back on it. The second thing is, did you see, and we didn't report on it because it came out, I think, after our show on Friday last week, there was a lot of drama that's been leaked from her bachelorette party. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't. No.
So they had a bachelorette party.
Oh, yes.
I'm blanking on where it was held, but it doesn't matter. They had a male stripper come, and, like, obviously that's classic bachelorette party activities, and the male stripper ended up staying in the house after the cameras were down, and allegedly, very allegedly, had some sort of evening with two of the castmates, who I'm told are Portia and Tanya. So I don't know where that leaves us, and they thought that it wouldn't make it to camera, but something happened. Someone filmed something. I don't know. We'll see it all unravel, but it sounds like it's going to be an amazing season of Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw that. That does sound really exciting to watch.
Yeah, so those are just the small bits of controversy on her big day. And I'd be RDH if I didn't bring them up. But back to the celebration. Very, very happy for her. The pictures were beautiful. Not my favorite dress I've ever seen, but that's okay.
Yeah, I really like it. I think she looks so beautiful and happy, and I like it.
She does look happy.
Are you ready for our next story, which is an update from something that we reported last week?
Is it Max Edish?
Oh my God, no. I forgot that. I forgot that story. You know what? I can swap one out, or we could just talk about him because that
was
the craziest
thing. Let's just talk about it really
quickly
because it's not a real story. It's just like this paparazzi video.
No. It's a story about our favorite
psychopath. He was, quote unquote, spotted at the beach where him and Demetria got engaged. And he was like sulking, like on the phone with someone, like crying. And the paparazzi just happened to be there.
Yeah, well, you know, they do follow him because he's such a big star. Yeah. And everybody wants to know what he's up to at all times. So it must have been hard for him to not be able to get to that beach without being completely stalked.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hilarious. Like, it's so staged. There's literally no doubt in my mind. I would bet I would bet Theo. Like, I'm just so sure. I would bet Theo that Max Edish obviously coordinated this himself. He's trying to make himself look like a victim, but in reality, he's making himself look so fucking toxic and manipulative. Like, poor Demetria. I know, like, it's just like she should not have to deal with this. Like, this is another level for like your regular psycho ex-boyfriend, but like now it's on a national level, and it's so crazy. It's almost too much to bear.
No, it's too much to bear. He really took it to another level being on the beach where he proposed. Like,
I can't.
I don't even know. I was actually so shook when I saw that video you posted on the Morning Toast Instagram, and like, he has got to do less.
He's got to get a grip, like, truly. Yeah. He's acting so insane. And I wonder if he was acting at all this way when they were together, like, or is he being a completely different person now than he was when he was with Demetria? Like, she must be like seeing double.
Yeah, no, I'm like, now the mask is off completely, and I'm sure in their relationship, like, it slipped here and there.
Yeah.
But I think he probably tried to act as normal as possible while they were together. But now that, like, he's lost it all.
Yeah.
He's just gone totally mad. You know, it does remind me of, spoiler alert, Regina Bly a little bit. That's all I'll say.
Is that from your show?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, that was just like a little something we needed to talk about, but it was so crazy. And if you need to see the video, go look on our Instagram.
Yeah, it tells you everything you need to know. Okay, but no, the update from a story last week is that first episode of Sophia with an F has dropped.
Oh, yes.
Sophia Franklin's podcast after all the Call Her Daddy drama went down this past summer. So she dropped her first episode Friday night, which unfortunately meant we couldn't talk about it until Monday. And it had a lot of different elements to it. Some of it was just like regular podcast episode, what you can expect from her. She talked a lot about what she went through in the past few months, like on a mental health level, mm-hmm. just essentially being so widely canceled and hated and all the hate that comes with that. And she also spilled a bit of tea on her friendship with Alex, who still hosts Call Her Daddy.
So I feel like probably more than the average person, I'm way more sympathetic to Sophia. And I actually really was like happy to hear from her. I'm like, I'm happy her show is doing well. I'm happy that she's number one. Like, she was a part of something that was on track to be like historically huge in media. And whether or not you agreed with what she did, she's no longer a part of it. And that's sad. So I'm just glad that her show is obviously doing well because it's number one. And I'm sure a lot of people wanted to tune in. I mean, I very rarely listen to podcasts, even though I have one, and excuse me, I listened to the whole thing because I was just like so curious what she was going to say about all the drama. And I thought, like, for the most part, she was pretty kind. There was like a couple minutes where she went in on Alex, like talking directly to her. I'm sure she has more information and more things to share, but like, to at this point, I think she knows that like people are over it. So I think, like, to me, I don't know if I would have been so like above it all, like mature, like I would have went in, like, whether or not you agree, like, they totally like bullied Sophia online and they made merch about it and like Suit Man, like, and her relationship, and like that was her best friend, her roommate. So like, regardless of whether or not you agree, like, Alex did engage in some of the bullying on Sophia, and I thought Sophia responded in a way that I would not have. I would have gone deeper.
Yeah, I agree that she stayed above more than most people would have, while also like sharing some interesting facts. So if you didn't listen to the episode, I would say the most interesting things that she said are that, one, Alex has a ghostwriter for the podcast, which is a really damning allegation.
Yeah, who literally like gives her scripts before every session of recording.
Yeah, and like writes jokes for her. And she was just kind of going after Alex's character, saying that, you know, it's no wonder four people started this show and there's only one person left who owns the whole thing, that this was always sort of her big plan.
Right. And that all she really cares about is like the fame and the stardom, according to Sophia.
Yeah. And Sophia, I think her biggest proof of that is the friendship and lack thereof now with MILF Hunter, mm-hmm. who apparently also wrote jokes for Alex, and now they're not even friends anymore. So it was sort of like, you know, a little tit for tatty.
Yeah.
Dave responded with a video also. And so I feel like where we've landed on this, and I feel like for Sophia, the reason why she didn't like spend too much time on all of it is because she just wants to start her show and move forward. And like all that stuff is in the past. I think for a lot of people, they were RDH that she did not mention Suit Man once.
Yeah.
But I kind of understand that. She mentioned Suit Man on her old show, and then all of a sudden, like, his life is totally ruined. So, like, she's not going to bring him into her new show.
Whether
she's
or not, I don't even know if they're still together. I don't know if a relationship can handle what it went through. But of course she's not going to bring him up, you guys. Like, are you serious?
And also, like, she doesn't want us to know whether or not they're still together. Because if they are, it makes him a target still. Mm-hmm. If they're not, everybody won.
Yeah, 100%.
So I understand, like, I know people wanted to hear, like, all of that, but I think she addressed it in the fact that she said, like, she makes her own decisions, you know, combating what everyone was saying about her at the time, which is that, like, her boyfriend was trying to steal the show, run the show, and she was just doing what he said.
Which I don't believe, honestly, like, Suman, as far as I know, is, like, very successful. I'm sure he was really just trying to help Alex and Sophia not steal Call Her Daddy. What was he going to do? Put on a headset and talk about blowjobs? Like, come on. It's so stupid. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. And Alex and Sophia both seem really smart and funny. Of course. And so I think they... I don't think their show was going to be snatched from them. No. By the vicious suit man.
What was interesting is that, like, they... When they were all, you know, when all this was happening and Sophia wasn't really responding, a lot of what was being said about her from Alex and just, like, then perpetuated by the, like, daddy gang community was that, you know, Sophia's lazy. She didn't do any of the marketing. She didn't do any of the editing. And Alex kind of championed herself as, like, this, like, the really hardworking one who, you know, wanted more money because she deserved more money. You know, she was doing so much work. And what I thought was really interesting was, like, Sophia's rebuttal to that is basically, like, yeah, like, you, what she said, which was honestly, like, funny, she was like, you edited and did all this stuff because, like, I was the funny one. Like, you were the one getting jokes written for you. And, like, I was being funny on my own. I wrote my own script. I wrote my own jokes. Like, of course you should edit. Like, you should, that's what she said. Like, you should pick up the slack because you're not the one, you know, giving creatively. Like, which is a very funny way to address, like, someone saying you're not doing enough work, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. She said that Alex's skills were menial while Sophia's were intangible.
Okay, so that's definitely one way of looking at it. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, that is one way of looking at it. And now she's here doing her own editing, doing her own ads. I thought some of her ads were really funny.
Me too.
And I wish for success for both of these girls because I do think that they're both really talented. Still, like I was in May, I am sad for their friendship, but I no longer hold out hope that they will come back together. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, it's just, like, I know, and I've been, like, living for the drama, but at the end of the day, it's really sad. Like, a friendship lost. A huge, and even though both of the podcasts are still going to be really huge, they're never going to be as big as when the two girls were together at their best, like, at the height of all of it. So that has been lost. Like, as a female podcaster, the story actually makes me sad.
It makes me sad. And also, like, as a female podcaster who does my show with my best friend.
Right. No. And it's like, that's how it could go. We have to always be best friends, Jax.
I know. We are. We can't get out of each other's lives if we tried. We literally spend more and more time together and more time FaceTiming every day than we did the last.
Yeah. I actually think us being sisters is, like, super helpful because, like, we'll get in trouble if we, like, start, like, publicly shaming one another, you know?
No. And, like, no matter what happened, like, we would never go there because we're sisters. And I agree. That's what saves us.
Yeah. Thank God for blood.
Thank God for sisterhood.
So yeah, I'm actually going to keep listening. I do want to see. It's very interesting because I think a lot of people were like, Alex was always the funny one. Sophia was always the funny one. Well, now there's two separate podcasts and we're going to see who was actually the funny one.
Yep. Agreed.
Time will tell.
Okay. Next story, a little blossoming romance news, but mostly just like a kiss that was picked up by TMZ. Kristen Cavallari kisses comedian Jeff Dye during a night out in Chicago amid her divorce from Jay Cutler.
Good for her. Get it, girl. Get it.
Cookbook author was pictured kissing comedian Jeff Dye at a bar in Chicago, as seen in footage obtained by TMZ. Dye is the host of Jeff Dye's Friendship Podcast and was a finalist on Last Comic Standing in 2008. So I think it goes without saying that Kristen Cavallari respects the art of podcasting.
Yes, I think it also goes without saying that Kristen Cavallari took a massive step down.
Yeah. It goes without saying that Kristen Cavallari has moved on.
Yeah, well, you know what? This was bound to happen. She's a beautiful girl out in Chicago. Live your life. Have fun. You know, Jay Cutler, there's been a lot of things about him. Some girl, Ashley. There's, like, a lot of shit going on there. You have your own time, Kristen. Go on a date. Live your life.
Yeah. And you know what? Even though, like, we're in the time warp of quarantine months, her divorce was announced in April. Like, that's a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
And in interviews, like, she did a interview with People, really speaking to her mindset at the time. And, like, I think this was something that she thought about for a very long time before she actually did it. So I think by now she is ready to move on. And I think she wants a funny man. And I can understand that.
It must be a strange feeling, though, to be married for so long and then, like, now be single and, like, navigate the dating world. Like, things have changed so much. And it actually must be, like, an amazing feeling to go from being in, like, a really toxic marriage, which it sounded like it was, to, like, just a fresh start with somebody new, you know? What's that like? Yeah. Sounds great.
What's that like?
Okay.
I always sing that. Do you know that? Oh, my God. And that's the perfect segue into our next story.
Is it the next story brought to you by Athletic Greens?
It is. Thank you.
Wow, that's so weird. That, like, what a weird coincidence.
Well, that's why this works so well, because you can just read my mind.
Jackie, did you know that the perfect diet doesn't exist? Despite eating a balanced diet, getting all the nutrients you need for your body to thrive can be very difficult. If you're looking for one product that has as much high-quality nutrients in it as possible, then you want to consider Athletic Greens. With as many as 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense formula on the market. It has a multivitamin, multimineral, greens complex, probiotic, prebiotic for gut health, an immunity formula, digestive enzymes, adaptogens, and more. No need for multiple pills or complex routines anymore. Filling the nutritional gaps in your diet is as easy as one scoop of Athletic Greens. You can get gut health support, immune system support, daily nutritional habit. Not all vitamins are created equal. Athletic Greens invests in its ingredients so you can invest in your health. They're obsessed with their ingredient selection that optimizes for nutrient absorption, and they only choose the most bioavailable, absorbable formulas for each vitamin, mineral, and whole food sourced ingredient. They taste super great. Their absorbable green powder has a superior taste than other green and multi-formulas. The taste is often a barrier to entry into the greens category. I can admit I've been very wary of trying anything green in my life, but the Athletic Greens powder actually tastes really, really good. And just one scoop will make you just feel right and tight, and like your mind is right, your body's right, your gut is right. Athletic Greens is giving our audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free liquid vitamin D supplement with your first purchase for additional immune support. So a lot of us are vitamin D efficient, which is usually produced in our bodies from sun exposure. And adding a vitamin D supplement to your daily routine is a great way to support vitamin D production. So everyone's been spending a lot of time inside, and obviously vitamin D is not at its highest right now. So if you want to get a free liquid vitamin D supplement with your order, make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/toast. Make an investment in your health today and try the ultimate all-in-one wellness bundle and support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/toast. You'll receive up to a year's supply of liquid vitamin D for free with your first purchase, but that's only if you go to athleticgreens.com/toast. Check it out and get your gut and mind and everything right.
Sign on, get your gut right.
Hey.
Okay, our fifth and final story is that there's a new rise and shine in town. Kylie Jenner has a new song that everyone is absolutely loving, including Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas.
Oh, yes. Corny, what the fuck are you on?
Yeah. So, Kylie, we all saw her in Thursday's episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, being the icon that she is, and she has a new song that I think might eclipse Rise and Shine. She sings, "'Cause I'm gonna get wasted. I just finished a whole cup of 42, and I'm about to go for my second one. Courtney, what the fuck are you on?"
I don't know. I'm just, like, eating my bread.
I don't know what's going on, so I'm just appreciating my bread.
She's so boring. But I love that this sound went viral on TikTok, and it really got there with the help of Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas putting on the cutest fucking TikTok little thing ever. And what I learned from that TikTok is that Joe Jonas eats Cold Stone. And I just thought that was really, really interesting, because Cold Stone is, like, archaic, and there's just so many, like, new wave ice cream places, like, in LA, like matcha ice cream and nitro ice cream. And I just found it, like, really fabulous. Like, that kid from New Jersey just, like, still eats Cold Stone, you know?
Cold Stone is so fucking good. It's delicious. Like, one of those places that we never go out of style.
100%.
It's a real one. Honestly, like, I haven't had Cold Stone in forever, but I think I would still order the cake batter. Sickening.
You know, I definitely would go for, like, a vanilla base, crush in some Oreos and brownies, and maybe, like, a little chocolate syrup on top. But that's just me.
Yeah, that's just you.
What do you think Joe eats?
Cold Stone really has something for everyone. He definitely eats something strange, like rum raisin.
That's so true. You're right. I'm just, like, obsessed with him. And I'm obsessed with them, but, like, I'm really obsessed with him, you know?
I'm obsessed with them because I'm going to get wasted.
I just finished a whole cup of 42 and I'm about to have another one. Courtney, what the fuck are you on?
I just, so when Rise and Shine came out, Kylie said, like, she always, like, sings just sentences.
Yes, and I so do that as well.
Her singing Rise and Shine to Stormy, like, wasn't a big deal to her because that's just how she talks. And the whole world picked up on it. And I feel
like moms, are just, like, singing all the time, you know?
Yeah. Rise and shine.
Rise and shine.
And so this is just another example. Like, Kylie's never on the show, but, like, the minute she is, another iconic song comes out because, like, she just sings songs all day.
No, to be honest, like, if we learned anything from this, it's that, like, Kylie needs to be on the show more.
No, I know. And also what makes her music, like, so exciting is that, like, she has no, like, sense of pitch.
She's no, and she's very impulsive. You know, you never know what she's going to say.
But, like, she's, like, Rise and Shine is, like, no one can even, like, sing it the same as her because, like, her pitch is so off. Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, that's what makes her music so good is, like, you can't even replicate it because it's, like, I don't know.
Jackie, what it's called. Inimitable.
It's inimitable. But what's the word when you're, like, off pitch? I guess that's
yeah,
what
no,
called.
It's, like, you're pitchy and, like, you sound fucking bad. Like,
because I'm gonna get wasted.
She actually sounds. I just finished a whole cup of 42, and honestly, like, I can't sing Kylie's songs because my pitch is, like, too good, you know?
No, I think I actually do a good job.
I think so too.
We have similar pitch.
Tone deaf.
And I also think that when she has just finished a whole cup of 42, like, her songs are even better. Like,
and she's gonna get wasted.
Courtney, what the fuck are you on?
I'm just, like, appreciating my bread, but I thought she's gluten free.
Anyways, those are the Fast Five stories that you needed to know. Actually, you got a bonus six, Max Erich on the beach.
I need to talk about Potomac.
Let's go.
I thought it was so good. I literally could have watched a whole episode of Karen's Hometown and, like, a background on her family. I think the fact that they own this farm that, like, her ancestors were slaves on is, like, the most unbelievable story I'd ever heard. I was literally, like, just tearing up at the whole thing. I thought it was so beautiful. And she's like this glamazon from the big city, but, like, she's so proud of where she came from. Like, I literally am gonna cry talking about it right now. It was just, like, it made me, like, fall in love with Karen.
No, I totally agree. And even Giselle said, like, she sees her through a different lens where it's like, she made it out of this small town. Mm-hmm. And that's why she walks around like the Grand Dame, because, like, in her town, she is, and to me, she is now totally. I agree, like, the history there was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And at first, when the episode kicked off, it felt like they were taking this trip just so they had something to do to distract from the fight. And yeah. I was like, ugh. But when they pulled up to the farm and we learned about the history and we met her family members, like, it was so wonderful. And then the parade, like, at first they were trying to make it, like, a sad parade.
Yeah. But when the footage parade, they were using was the parade hadn't even started, okay?
Yes. When the parade was in full swing and there was like cars and candy being thrown out, and there were people. There were people in the streets. I was just, like, so happy for Karen.
Me too.
And I know that, like, Giselle and Ashley were sort of shitting on it, but I thought it was so sweet. She's so proud of where she comes from. The town is clearly so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was beautiful. I
wasn't expecting to, like, have this episode. It was, like, a Karen, like, LaDame renaissance. But it was just what I needed. And I feel like I love her so much now. And it was just an amazing story. Like, when she was literally in her interviews and was like, I'm the daughter of a farmer and I'm so proud. Like, we're feeding America. Like, it was just
Oh my God.
Like, I literally was going to cry. Like, it was so cute. And I just fucking love her. And I love how she's, like, so proud. She takes her big city TV show back to her hometown. Like, she's so proud of where she came from. It's honestly, like, she's an honorable, like, good person. And I, like, loved seeing where she came from.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like for the last few seasons, she has had a renaissance in terms of, like, we can all agree that, like, she's a good friend and a good person.
Yes.
And wants the best for the other women and really is not malicious. So I think that this was just, like, the last piece of the Karen Huger puzzle where it's, like, she is forever in our hearts.
Yes, and she's definitely a complex person, you know? And I think it took a while for TV and, like, America to understand, like, exactly who she is and what she's about.
It took me a while. It really did. But now I get it. Oh. And I'm not going back.
On a superficial level, that periwinkle outfit that she wore at the whole day was so sickeningly stunning. She looked so snatched. It was maybe the best outfit I'd ever seen in Potomac history. I would say that.
I agree.
It was so elegant and chic, and she looked so like right in it. Like it was just, I honestly was like Googling. I needed a similar outfit.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
The rest of the episode followed Robin's tax.
Now listen, Drama. Actually, I did find that tax stuff kind of interesting because I feel like it's a really relatable problem. Like I myself have also forgotten, like when she said like I forgot to report income because like I just forgot about it. When you make money in like the weird way that I do and over the years that I have, I actually had a similar situation and it was kind of validating to hear like someone else like literally just forget. But she should not be doing her own taxes.
No, she should not be. And I imagine that being a housewife and having, you know, your Bravo income and then you have your Instagram stuff. I'm sure she does like promotions. There are right. A lot of random streams of income that you might forget to report. And I don't believe that like there was anything nefarious going on.
Me neither.
But when they flash back to the clip of how hard she was on Karen for not, how could you not know about what your husband was doing where it's like you didn't even know about what yourself was doing.
Yeah.
I hope that. Not that she needs to apologize to Karen at this point.
No, but she should. That's like a really hard thing to go through. And then to have your friend like being like, you should have known, you should have done better. Like that's so mean. And God works in mysterious ways because now it's like when in New York Housewives, when Luann got divorced and Ramona was so mean to her. And then when Ramona got divorced, she sat at the reunion and she said, Luann, I owe you the biggest apology. Like I was so hard on you. You don't know like really about stuff like till you're going through it. And those in glass houses should not throw stones. But I actually agreed with you. Like when they flashback to that scene, I had totally forgotten about her just like railing on Karen. That was a moment. It was.
Yeah. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be the biggest deal of the season.
No.
But I don't know. For some reason, it just brought us back to that. And I think that Robin was really hard on Karen at the time, considering, you know, it could happen to anyone. And then there's the fight between Candace and Monique that is still sort of brewing. But it's this, the way it's leading up to it, it's clear how what Monique said on Watch What Happens Live last week is true. Whereas like she sat down with her pastor, she's ready to reach out to Candace and Chris and have the four of them come together. But Candace is ready to press charges. And so they've missed each other.
Right. And I think like Monique's mistake was taking so long to get to the place where she was remorseful. And like when she started crying and was like, Candace didn't deserve that. Like I felt it. Like I thought it was 100% genuine, but in all this time, Candace has not heard from Monique. So Candace is just like stewing and hurting and coming up with all these ideas. And obviously she's going to press charges. Whereas like if Monique could just come to this conclusion like a few days earlier, I think maybe she could have saved herself the legal trouble.
Yeah, but that's not how it works, you know? And I think the fact that it took Monique so long and went through all these different phases of realization shows that it's completely genuine. And so by the time she got to this point of like crying with her pastor and like feeling remorseful, which is what everyone wanted her to feel, she wasn't just feeling it because everyone wanted her to feel it or else. So that's why I completely believe her and
I believe I understand her, too.
and I still ride for her.
Me too, but I was disappointed when it's like she couldn't have just, it's not a hard realization to come to, like that you shouldn't have attacked Candace in the physical way that you did, and the fact that she like in front of the women like couldn't admit that she was remorseful, like I don't know, I like her so much that I'm on her side, but she's making it really hard.
Yeah, but what I imagine is that in the moment like she felt like that she was in the right attacking Candace, like when she attacked Candace, that's why she did it, because she thought it was the thing to do. And it took her a while after until she realized that that thought process that she had at the time was the wrong way of going about it. Like it's just a natural human reaction. That's what I was saying at the top of the show about how, you know, on scripted dramas, yeah, you would get the character feeling badly the next day. But, like, when you watch a play on reality TV, like, human emotions are much more complex than that.
And humans are, like, deeply flawed. And I agree with that. It's just, I'm not going to be on Candace's side because she's so fucking annoying. And even, like, with her storyline today, like, I'm going to get a dog to see if I should have a baby. Like, it's so tired. It's just, I'm so over it. Also, I think I came to a realization this week. I don't think I'm like crazy about Wendy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I was just watching her lunch with her sister, and like I love sister moments. Like anyone with a sister is like, and I don't know, it was just like kind of boring. And I just like, I don't know if I'm like in 100%.
Yeah, well, I think that enough time has passed of her on the show. What has it been, 5-6 episodes where you can, or I think it's been more than that, actually, but where you can make the judgment of how you feel about her on the show. Like, the first, her first few episodes, like, she needs time. But, like, now she's in the group. She witnessed a really big fight. Like, she's very much
in it. She's a part of it.
And I still am just, like, not totally feeling what she brings.
Yeah, me too. Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I did want to die a little bit when Robin and Juan were on their, like, on their role play date. Like, I get that you have to keep things spicy, but, like, some things can be kept private.
No, and now I'm thinking, like, was there something in the previews for this season that it was like, Juan was spotted at a bar with someone that wasn't Robin? Like, I think that that's her.
Oh, my God. I really hope not.
No, I think that it is.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. But I saw, like, girls in the background, like, on their phones. Like, maybe someone took a picture. And, like, Robin was purposely, like, not facing the crowd.
She was facing
I don't know. It was so cringy. And, like, the fact when she was like, oh, it's really a buzzkill, our taxes.
It was just, like, such a strange scene.
No, when there's, like, a tax lien, like, it's definitely a buzzkill for date night.
Yeah, and maybe, like, date night could be postponed until you guys, like, figure that out. It was so funny. It was actually a pretty good episode, even though, like, none of, except for the women who were with Karen, like, everyone was apart. Like, no one was together.
They're trying to figure out how they move forward after this fight, and we just gotta, be patient. But it looks like next week they all get together again, and Candace has pressed charges.
As we say every week with Potomac, the
next week looks so good.
The premiere for next week looks amazing. Can't wait. It's probably going to be, like, a decent episode. But I'm really excited for next week's episode to see the preview for next week's episode.
No, and I don't know how I feel about this week's episode until I see next week's episode.
No, and I don't know how I feel about this week's episode until I see the preview, because it really, like, is the best part of the episode.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's our episode. Is there anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up?
No, that's all I've got for you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know. We are usually streaming on YouTube, so if you ever want to watch us on YouTube, we're back in studio next week. And we are available on YouTube, so make sure to find us on YouTube, The Morning Toast. Let me say YouTube one more time. Just go to YouTube and find us, okay? And subscribe, bitch, okay? We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox. We are also now available on Amazon Music. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. Happy Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Goodbye.